this episode of Well Met is brought to you in partnership with Legion by Lenovo and Intel. Find out more about Legion by Lenovo on Facebook and Twitter at Legion by Lenovo.
You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 94 of Well Met. We are a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com from Denver, Colorado. I'm John Horstman. With me, of course, is the crew. First, from Las Vegas, Nevada is where he currently is. Brand new, number two show here with us on Well Met. It's the one and only Tannen Grace. Hey, Tannen.
How's it going, John?
Good, man. Good. It's been a week. I lost my voice this weekend. It's just, you know, just kind of weird. We're doing this on a Monday night.
You forgot to tell me we were recording tonight.
I forgot. You forgot to confirm or deny that you can make it tonight. So, you know, it's going to be great no matter
what.
Spoiler
alert. He made it.
He made it. He's here. So that's cool. All right, let's go over to Kansas City, though, with the one and only J.R. Cook. What's up, J.R.?
Man, it's been a rough weekend for me. For Royals fans everywhere, I'm not going to discuss it, though, on the show. But you probably heard it in the news. And I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy to talk about some Hearthstone.
Yeah, we've got a lot of Hearthstone to tackle. We've kind of always talked about, like, we want more communication from the devs. And now I'm like every day having to sift through all this communication from the devs. Oh, Yong, if you're listening, keep it up. Keep it up.
I think my friend put it best once. He like said something. It's like Hearthstone Magic players, like card game players, if you gave them $100, they would complain that it's wrinkled.
Yep. That's true. I hate wrinkly 100s. I have to send them through the washer, the dryer, iron them out, do all that stuff. Don't do that, by the way.
I just spend it.
Yeah, that's usually the way it works.
That's fair enough. Well, let's talk about our weeks in Hearthstone and closely associated games. Tannen, what have you been up to this week?
Getting my butt kicked on the ladder. The last couple days have been rough. Besides a solid like 8-10 game winning streak. I think I was messaging you when it went on. I felt like I haven't won a game of Hearthstone outside of that. It feels like every time I play an aggro deck, I queue into control deck. Every time I play a control deck, I queue into another control deck that's like just geared to beat me. So it's been a rough week.
We're actually going to talk about that. Matt McCall answered a question about that exact same sentiment. It's like,
it's a conspiracy.
Yeah, and he goes on to answer and says, we like it when you lose because then you buy more cards. Just kidding, he didn't say that. But that's what I'm saying. That's my answer. That's John, the Hearthstone dev's answer. So, yeah. JR, what about you, man? I know you've had quite the week.
Yeah, I haven't played a lot on the ladder. I'm still sort of boycotting it, so to speak, the ladder grind. I played a little bit on that. But the most fun I had this week was last Tuesday. We had the Kansas City Fireside Gathering put on by our friend of the show there, Sam Benson, who was on the show a few weeks ago, about a month or so ago. He put on a pretty awesome Fireside Gathering again, all you can drink at the Boulevard Brewery.
Ooh.
It was a lot of fun. $25 to get in for all you can drink. Heck yeah. I'll take that any day of the week. Yeah. Yep. But he and put me on as... Yeah.
You forgot to mention the Hearthstone part. He's just like, all you can drink, $25. It was great.
And play Hearthstone. Yeah. That was just the bonus, right?
Right.
No, but he put me in one of their featured games or whatever. He did a featured game thing this time around where he pitted me against someone else who was similar rank, and then everybody gathered around the table to watch us play and would take bets with these gold coins.
Please tell me you won. Please tell me you represented
and whoever
well
side you was on, you got more of the gold coins, and then you use the gold coins to enter into the raffle. And so we picked our decks, and we both chose Reno Mage.
Oh God!
So it was the longest game ever.
And the bar closed before you finished. Yeah, the end. Right.
So anyway, this guy gets Brand down in Kazakus, so he gets two Kazakus spells, which that's not a big deal. That tends to happen sometimes, right?
It's what you go for. He never played Brand before.
Mystic Soulcaster or whatever, where he puts it back into his deck.
Manic Soulcaster.
Yeah, Manic Soulcaster.
Look at me remembering card names. Sorry. I'm really excited about that. Yeah.
And then he plays Cabal Courier and gets it off of that as well. So he had four different Kazakus spells during that entire matchup. And of course, I just got blown away because of that. But
you didn't represent well, Matt.
I did not represent well, but it was crazy. Like that, it was so much fun. Like seeing the people watching and their reactions when it's like the fourth one. I'm just like, I'm doomed. I'm dead. This is bad. But afterwards, we had a drink together, and I told him, you could have done one of two things today. You could have gotten a lottery ticket, or you could have gotten four Kazakus, and you chose the correct one just for the entertainment value.
Yep. Fair enough. Nice.
But, no, that was a lot of fun. I really enjoy those fireside gatherings.
Right.
And then this weekend, our Team Hearth League, I had a crazy match. I went 3-0 this week, which is good. 3-0, the guy had a crazy match.
I went 3-1 this week. I think
he did awesome. He did awesome this week.
Yeah. The
still waiting for my invite.
You can sub in for me anytime.
Probably next season, or you can sub for us.
I'm in.
But I had a crazy matchup where I was playing my Reno Mage, and he was playing a Control Shaman, and it went to fatigue, and it actually went down to, I actually fatigued down to one life, and he was at one life when it went to my turn. So I fatigued down to one life and then was able to ping him with my spell power to win.
Nice.
Where we were both fatiguing like that. It was crazy how... And the reason that I won that was because I got to pop off Reno three different times.
Wow.
Six. And he complains about the four Kazakus spells.
Yeah.
I wasn't complaining. I enjoyed it. It was a fun game. Yeah. Both of them were fun games. But I got to play Reno three times.
I kind of had something cool in my THL League game where I was... I'm playing Reno Mage. He was playing Reno Warlock. I don't play Reno Mage. I just needed a fourth class. So that's my fourth class. It's a really bad deck, but believe it or not, my MVP is Burgly Bully. I run that there, and then you Antonitis and a bunch of coins, get a bunch of fireballs. It's great. Never works out, but in theory, it's great. So... basically what happened is I got the Bran Kazakus combo and got two 10-mana spells. He's kicking my butt the whole time. Like, I'm surviving somehow, but he's always got board presence. He's always out-tempoing me on everything. And my Kazakus spells happened to be two 10 armor spells. One was transform every minion to a 1/1 sheep. And another one was summon three minions that died this game. And he had one that was similar. So so that's kind of how kind of back and forth it was. And I played my Dirty Rat the turn before I was going to Kazakus Potion. And I pulled out a Doomsayer and destroyed six of his minions. And it was so bad. Otherwise, I would have lost. I ended up winning 3-1, so it was a lot of fun. It's the first week that I've won, though. I've lost 1-3 the first 2 weeks, so I was due. But I'm glad to know I'm just capable of winning.
You've been holding us back, man.
Whoa. Fair enough. True, probably.
Truth.
True, but no, whoa.
We're going to come back now. We got the momentum going.
I haven't looked.
We had a rough beginning of the season. Got the momentum now. It's just, we're going to roll here on out.
TeamHearthLeague.com, if you guys want to stay tuned. They do a podcast every week as well about the league and stream on Saturdays. They stream three matches. So head over, check that out. We're having a lot of fun. Also, I want to do an experiment, and that is to see how many people want to hang out with us in Discord. So, JR, what's the Blizz Pro Discord again? Is it
discord.gg/BlizzPro?
If you guys want to hang out with us and talk Hearthstone and do all that stuff on Team Well Met, head on over to discord.gg/BlizzPro. Hang out right in the chat and just be like, hey, I'm here. I'm on Discord all day long. I would love to
get people
hanging out with us in Discord. And I think we could use the bump. So let's do that. And can we go into the news? All right.
Let's do it.
This Week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
All right. So before we get started with the news, we do want to thank our friends of the show, Albert T., The Real Ben, and Coral. If you like the show, want to help support us, I've honestly put so much time into the show the last couple of weeks, making new sounders, doing all that stuff. You want to support us so we can continue to do that, head on over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. Find out how you can get involved. And a special thank you again to Albert T., The Real Ben, and Coral. So the developers have been crazy busy on the forums, on Reddit, and we've got quite a bit to talk about. Most notably this week, Max McCall. I follow him on Twitter. He's got a great Twitter account. Posted some stuff about card design and was just kind of elaborating on some stuff for us. And here's essentially what we found out. Most of the cards in the set stop changing about 2 months before it releases, but we can and do change cards up to a week or two before release. The initial design team lays out the vision of the set. The final design team does the actual balancing, puts basically the numbers and text finalized on the card. And then basically it's like, it's a big giant collaboration towards the middle and end between multiple departments to get that done. The exact link is in the show notes. But I thought it was really interesting how people continue to think that, like, people like the Hearthstone team just doesn't have a set philosophy on how they're going to set up cards or something. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? Like, yes, you're right. Paladin is not doing great unless you're Tice in the Trinity series. Then it's doing great, like 6-0 great. But you know, otherwise on the ladder, Paladin's not doing great. Hunter's not doing great. The Hearthstone team must not care about those classes or must not think about them. And that just couldn't be further from the truth. Any surprises here on their philosophy on how they're balancing cards or kind of makes sense or not balancing, I guess, designing cards?
I mean, it does make sense because there's a lot of different people and a lot of different teams and a lot of iterations on what goes into a card design. And, you know, they do this like months and months, you know, maybe they might have cards that they've started designing over a year ago.
Well, they said patches was initially a GVG design,
good example
right?
Of that. Right. Yeah.
Small time Buccaneer patches. One of the two. Anyways, sorry.
It might have been both of them for all I know, right? It's just that iteration, and that's just something that Blizzard and a lot of software development teams do. I mean, you got to make sure that as you're going through, you got to make sure that it's right or as close to being right as it can be by the time you release it. And of course, there's going to be issues with that in the case of Small Time Buccaneer, where they changed it 2 weeks or so ahead of release. You know, Mike Donay talked about that a couple weeks ago. Like, that's an example of a card that might be a problem, is when you make those last minute changes on it, you know, you didn't go enough time. You may not have gone through enough time of iterating through that card within QA or things like that, that it could very much well be a problem card. And we're, you know, we're seeing that with Small Time Buccaneer, that it is potentially a pretty big problem card. But, you know, these guys are, you know, it's not just one or two people making this decision on these cards. It's a team full of people, and it's not just one team within Hearthstone. It is multiple teams within the Hearthstone team that are making these kind of decisions.
Well said, JR. Well said. I got to say, I agree with everything you said, and I'm happy to hear this. You know, I'm glad to read these kinds of things, because I like the transparency that we're seeing from Blizzard a lot more lately, and you're starting to see what goes on behind the curtain, you know, so to say. And I like hearing that it goes through multiple teams, because you know how small the group was when they first started Hearthstone, right? And then it's like, I think they put up the number the other day, it's like more than quadrupled, like every section.
It's like it doubled every year or something insane like that. Yeah.
They started with like 15 people, and they're up to like around 100 now.
Yeah. They're like 80 or 90 or 100, something like that. And so the more people that get their hands on it, as long as it's still streamlined, which it seems like it is, so it seems like their process is working, at least for most of the cards. You know, as you say, Small Time Buccaneer might be a problem, but I like the idea of more eyes and ears and hands getting on these cards more often and going through more people, because less likely you'll have these mistakes and you'll have to have cards change less likely, hopefully. But I mean, they can't like completely know exactly how broken some of these are going to be until they get them into the hands of all the best players in the world. And that's the hardest thing to have happen when you're developing cards, is to anticipate exactly what's going to happen when they get put into the real world. But they can do as good a job as possible, and I think they've done a bang-up job over the last couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, they're putting out a couple hundred cards a year, and usually it's cards that were not usually, but in the past, it's not been cards that have been released new. It's actually been older cards that ends up getting the nerf treatment or rebalancing. We'll call it rebalancing. That's a new PC way to say nerf. Counterpoint, though, there are some people who think that having an initial and a final design team, it seems kind of counterintuitive to putting out cards that A, in a timely manner, and B, that fulfill the vision of the initial design team. So as a counterpoint, do you guys think that maybe one design team would be better? As we all are game developers here on the show and have extensive game development experience in the best gaming company in the world, okay, that's a bad way to tee you up. But do you like the idea of two design teams? Why do you think it works well? Why do you think it might not?
From a software development standpoint, I know I personally prefer to have as many eyes on something as possible, because people are going to catch things that you didn't think of, and they're going to see things that you didn't initially see. So having an initial design and then taking it through the process and then having another set of eyes, make it better, or make sure that, you know, this is what we want. I personally don't see an issue with that. In fact, I can only think of good things that can come from something like that.
Strong agree. Strong agree. Love the idea of multiple teams getting involved in this, because one, it prevents any form of like favoritism with kinds of cards or anything like that. Not saying anyone ever would do that, but like, you know, you're like, oh, this card's my baby. I really want it to make it through development this way, the way that I envision it. And then everybody else is like, man, like, this card is just too OP. Like, we can't have this card show up. It's going to ruin the game. So like, when you have, it's like a checks and balances system kind of thing going on. So I'm all for it.
And maybe they have something like the Dino Flask Overwatch video of Jeff Kaplan, where the two designers decide who's going to win by wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, totally.
Wrestle with Jeff, prepare for death.
Yeah. How that went. So, I mean, and so I've been thinking about this a little bit. And like, the initial design team, as Matt McCall points out, is all about like the big picture, the setting, the theme, the mechanics, sketching out ideas for new deck types and support the set vision. The final design teams, they make the card fun and make it balanced, I guess, is the way it goes. And it's a little bit of a balance of like creativity and math. They both have both involved, right? But a lot of people aren't, you know, these super artsy creative people and also excellent math people. There are people who live that way, but there are plenty of people, math people specifically, who are not uber duber creative coming from a math person. And so it also makes sense that you get both of those. And I think people all of a sudden think like, it's like a shipping depot. Like once it leaves your building, it never comes back and you never see that again. And you never get to go, ooh, I don't think this fulfills the theme that we're looking for. Or I don't think it does, you know, justice to the mechanics that we initially had in mind. Let's talk. If there's one thing that I understand from Ben Brode, Yang Wu, and I don't want to put words in their mouth. So this is John inferring what they've said, is it's an incredibly collaborative team, and collaboration like oozes out of Team 5's walls in how they develop all of their sets. And yes, people have roles and responsibilities, but it's a lot more than just, I did my part, next part on the assembly line, never see it again, and done, right? So cool out, chill out. It's going to be okay. Your cards are being designed great. And as long as we don't get any more 2-mana 3/4s and 4-mana 7/7s, we'll be fine. We had another post from Matt McCall talking about matchmaking, and he's reiterated what we've already known, but kind of put it in all one location. First and foremost, if you are in casual or legend ranked, match made based on player skill. So that's how you get played. If you are not playing either of those, you are match made based on the number of stars. It does not see your deck, Tannen. It does not see anything else about you except for your player skill rating. It's an algorithm that mm-hmm. they use. So Tannen, now that you know that, what are your thoughts?
Well, the first part of it made me feel kind of bad, because anytime I've ever complained about my opponent playing really badly and still winning, it makes me feel bad, because if we're matched up on skill and I think my opponent's playing badly, what does that say about my self-inference here?
It just means they're having a bad day.
I have a lot of bad days. Yeah, I have a lot of bad days lately. Secondly, still don't believe about the Olu looks at that. Still believe that it sees that I queued up Dragon Priest and keeps putting me into these druids that I never see when I'm shaman.
Right? It's they worst. Know it's the worst.
Yeah. Honestly, though, it's a lot of selective memory, too. Like, you always remember all of your bad matchups. You never remember the games where you just roll your opponent by turn 5. You know, you always remember, like, the guy that hit the runner to beat you.
That's why you track your stats, guys, especially if you're prone to tilt, because you got unlucky like matchups. John. Yeah, I am the tilt master. I have a hole in my desk right here to prove it, and I have 2 broken mice. You think I'm joking? You think I'm joking? If somebody posts in Discord, I will post the picture of the hole in my desk from, I believe it was it was Overwatch. And it was a tracer who I just could not kill. I think that's what it ended up being. So
get good.
I'm an angry little man. I am an angry, you know, you have Tice, Strifecrow, these very, you know, just always analytical, all that kind of stuff. And right below the bottom of all the lists is where I live. And because I'm so salty all the time. So salty all the time. What do we have going on with predetermined rarity, JR? What was this about?
Yeah, so there's an interesting Reddit thread that I saw this week on the Hearthstone subreddit, written by Brial underscore HS, who is the same person that brought up last year when we talked about pity timers. And if you remember, you know, shows from almost a year ago when we talked about pity timers, it's basically you have an X number of packs to open for a better chance at getting a legendary. And by, I believe, your 40th pack or something like that, I don't remember the exact number off the top of my head right now.
That's
you're guaranteed a legendary if you don't get one by then, right?
Yeah.
Well, he has a new hypothesis now about predetermined rarity in packs. And the way that they determined this was there was a server crash on the Chinese servers. And before that crash happened, there were some people that took videos of their pack openings. And then the crash happened, they got all their packs back, and they took video of their pack openings, and it ended up the rarity matched up in each pack. The cards weren't the same, because the cards are actually generated when you open the pack. But this is saying that the rarity itself is predetermined already. So he's looking into this now on if there is a way that they can determine what you will get in your next packs as far as rarity is concerned. And I think that is really interesting.
Spoken like developer right there. It's like, that sounds hard.
Yeah. No, it sounds really awesome. It sounds awesome because then you can end up going, you know, if I have this, pattern of card openings, I can determine what my next X number of packs will probably be. And if I want to go ahead and spend money on that now on this set or save it for later, or, you know, just open it with gold for now for a while until, you know, the next set, then I know that, okay, this next set, I know that I'm going to get X number of legendaries when a new set comes around. And that's what something like this could determine.
Hate it.
You hate it?
Hate hearing about this. Yeah, I hate hearing about predetermined stuff in packs. Like, I just don't even listen to it because I just want to believe that it's all random and there's no set to it whatsoever. I mean, one that made me kind of believe the fact that, like, you know, it is actually random, I think it was VLPS, like, tweeted about this, like, a week or two ago, the guy that was on the show just a few weeks ago, that he finally opened a pack that had two legendaries in it. And he had never done that in the history of Hearthstone. That guy has opened more packs than all of us combined. I guarantee it. Than all of us combined. You know, he's been playing since day one, pretty much, and has, like, almost an entire, you know, golden collection and stuff. And
I don't think he's spent as much money as I have, though, because...
That's probably true.
Still open more.
Yeah. Some of us have gone infinite on the game, but yeah. I mean, it turns out it's the way I thought it was. You know, like, as soon as you accrue your digital object of a pack, it's, like, predetermined, you know, you're going to have this many of X rarities in your pack.
Right.
You're going to have, you know, two legendaries or, like, one, you know, one epic or whatever, blah, 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 or whatever. And then when the pack opens, it's randomly created, like, from an algorithm. And that's how I always believed that it happens, and we're getting confirmation of it now. So that's nice to know.
Well, it's not confirmation. It is just a hypothesis. It's not proven.
It's not proven, but it's pretty...
It's a theory.
I mean, like,
it's an excellent theory with great theory. Information backing that theory. But I don't know if we'll ever get confirmation from the Hearthstone team on this one. I have a feeling that they're just going to say, nah, you know, well met. They need more stuff to talk about. And when they have a dry spell, they can go back and return to this. We're not going to say.
We never got confirmation about pity timers either, right?
Right.
I don't think we're going to get anything like that from either one.
Right. Totally agree. Last but not least in the news from developers, Yang Wu, we've had him on the show once, and we've met him at BlizzCon twice. I like to say he's a friend. I like to say he's, you know, I could give him a high five on the street, and he would high five me back. And basically, on the forum, someone's like, I like it when there's, here's their exact thing. It's really short, so I'll just read it. I like it when there's special limited time events, but it's bad when you can't get them in certain regions like the Taronda event. Are they planning on having it available in all regions at some point before it goes away forever? I can't stand Anduin. And all the Lord's people said, amen. So, Yongwu says, thanks for the message. I'm a big fan of Priest as well, and I totally get why you'd be bummed that you can't unlock Tyranda. When we do special promotions, we want the people who participate to feel really special for being involved. At the same time, we totally acknowledge that people who can't participate can feel really left out, especially if the reason for not being able to participate is out of their control, region access restriction, or maybe they weren't around when the event was happening, etc. Given this, we are actively looking into ways to grant access to new heroes and card backs that some players may have missed out on. We'll make an announcement once our plans are solidified. So nothing really new here, but again, just a confirmation. They're still looking at it. They're still looking at ways that they can make that happen. I don't have the Samsung Galaxy Gifts card back. I could have gotten it, but I didn't want to emulate. And I thought that it was kind of cheating because I knew one would come to iOS eventually. And then, I don't know, it just felt...
It never did.
What's that?
It never did it?
Yeah, it did. We have Khadgar. He was the World Wildlife Federation card back that was iOS only. So Khadgar only could be gotten from iOS only. And since that happened, I was like, you know, I just want to play fair. I want to play right. That's what I keep telling myself, at least. What do you think here? Do you want a way to go back and get specific season or promotional card backs? Or do you like the idea of just one and done?
Yes and no. So the specific like card backs for seasons, if you miss it, you missed it. You're not going to go back to the season. You're not going to get that card back. Like, sorry, it's gone. Now the promotion stuff like Tyranda, like you're talking about, put a time limit on it. You know, be like, all right, you know, if it's successful for you, if you can get it some special way, you get it. And we're not going to release it in the public for like a year, you know, year and a half, whatever mystical number they want to come up with. And then everyone can get it for $9.99 or whatever, you know, make yourself some money. Blizzard, release it to everyone at some point in time, but keep the people feeling special for like a year. You know, after a year, no one cares anymore. Everyone's seen that hero enough times.
I have a feeling that's kind of how it's going to work. Especially when it came to like Khadgar, which John brought up. Like, I feel like that was an Apple exclusive for a set amount of time. And it's probably a year, that, you know, and that's probably what a lot of these are. Like a lot of these promotions are tied to something that another business is doing. Like Khadgar was with iOS as part of their promotion with the worldwide the WWF, right? And not the
World Wrestling Federation.
I keep thinking Vince McMahon
to come busting here with a steel chair. Right.
Oh no, he's got a steel chair.
You know, the Samsung one that John talked about was for, you know, the phones that blew up. And then
S5, bro, come on.
I never keep them straight anymore. And then the Tyranda one was for Amazon Prime. So I feel like they probably signed an agreement with these companies that, you know, this is exclusive to you, and this is when the exclusiveness ends. And then they'll release, you know, something later.
So, go ahead.
I feel like other games kind of do this as well.
Yeah.
But I can't think of any off the top of my head right now.
Sure. So from both of you guys, I just want to hear a quick yes or no. Do you think that we will see another way to get the card backs that were earned based on a season that you played? Yes or no? Tannen?
No.
Okay. Do you think that we will see card backs from BlizzCon? Do you think that we'll see those re-released? Yes or no?
No.
What about Chinese New Year TESPA? Any other way besides playing in a Chinese premiere TESPA event? No. But
I hope not.
Limited edition card backs that are partnerships with other companies, you're saying yes?
I think so, yeah.
You think so?
Yep. Tentative no.
Tentative, no. Okay. I'm a staunch believer. Like, I love the purity of it all. I missed one season. I have one card back that I don't have besides the Chinese New Year card back. Mm-hmm. I am devastated. And I know I will probably never see that again. But it's fair. I didn't play then. I didn't play. And it, you know, it's a badge of honor, right? It's like the new, in World of Warcraft, they have these ahead of the curve achievements that you can get, where you only get them when you're playing active content. There's no way to go back. I think they're tied to a title. They're not tied to a mount, but it's an achievement, and I believe there's a title to it. It's kind of the same thing for me, and I think that all that stuff, they want to keep there.
Yeah.
And they're, it's not like they're running out of card back ideas, I hope.
Right. I would say that the BlizzCon ones, like, you could have gotten those regardless of what region you were in or anything like that. You just had to buy a virtual ticket or something to that effect. I feel like the season card backs, like, there is an achievement that you are actively going for that if you get, then great. You know, you got it and you're good. And I feel the same way about the Chinese card back, where you have to basically win a really high level tournament or go to a really high level tournament to get that, right?
Right.
Whereas the companies are like, there are people in regions that would never be allowed to have access to that. It was very region exclusive, right. Or very device exclusive. And that's right. Why I feel like those are a little bit different, because not everybody had the chances that they could have to get one.
Right.
That's the only difference I have.
I get it. At the same time, it's not like they didn't think about that before they inked the deal, right? And right. If you're which a company, why they're like, hey, we're going to give you this exclusivity and a card back, which, let's be honest, in Hearthstone, means nothing if it's time-gated, right? You have 50-plus, probably, card backs to choose from now. If one does not stay exclusive, I feel like it really kind of ruins the ooh part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sort of like, you know, how a game might be PlayStation exclusive for 2 weeks and then they release it for the Xbox One.
That's the whole game, though. This is like if there was a specific skin in that game.
Yeah.
You know, so I see your side. I totally get it. And I mean, Yang has already kind of confirmed, at least, that the team sees enough of this that they're actually talking about it internally. It doesn't mean that we'll see a solution of it, right? But it does at least mean that it's going on enough where they're not like, hey, you know, these were exclusive things, and you know, we really want to support other companies as they support Hearthstone, whatever that conversation ends up looking like. So we got to move on, though. We're already well over halfway into the show, and we haven't even hit the big parts of this week. So let's go ahead, and we're going to talk about esports this week.
The Pro Corner.
Yeah, that's right. This week, we've got a ton of stuff to talk about. I'm going to tee this one up, though, because this is the first week. We're going to try something different this week. We've gotten a lot of feedback that people love it when we talk about esports, but hate how long it takes to set the table to talk about esports. So I came up with an idea called the Hearthstone Fast Break, or Esports Fast Break. And what it's designed to do is to give you everything you need to know from Hearthstone in the past week without having to hear me mumble through it and then ask for everyone's opinion on every single thing or deal with awkward silences. So this is a trial. I really want to know what you guys think of the esports fast break. If you like it, if you don't like it, it might be a little awkward this week because we're still figuring out how it's going to format through. But Hopefully it helps you digest everything going on in Hearthstone esports, at least the important things, without being like, great, I just listened to John ramble through scores and stats before he talked to JR. What do you think about this score, JR? And then he goes, well, blah, 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 blah. And don't worry, we won't do this intro every time. From now on, it's just going to be the Hearthstone fast break or esports fast break. But let's go ahead and give it a shot, and we will be right back after that. January is the month for the return of team leagues in Hearthstone. This past week, the third installation of China's Gold Series features five players from China versus five players from North America and an $85,000 grand prize as well as additional bonuses. China brought their best players, inviting Jason Zhao and the top four players from a qualifying tournament earlier this month. Their entire roster included Jason Zhao, Lovely Chook, Omega Zero, X-Hope, and LVGE. The team representing North America included invites to Chalky, Raynad, Dog, Frozen, and Cydonia. The format included three best-of-nine series over 3 days. China took the first series 5-3 with LVGE eliminating Dog and Frozen in the first two games before falling to Cydonia. In the second round, Team North America retaliated with Cydonia winning 5 straight. The final score of this round was 5-3 in favor of NA. However, Team China put up an impressive showing in round 3, defeating North America 5-2. This third series was not met without controversy, which we will discuss later on in this show. Team China took the win and the money, securing their first win against Team NA in the Gold Series. ESL is also getting in on the team action in 2017 with their Trinity Series. The ESL Trinity Series is a 7-week-long team league featuring the biggest names in Hearthstone. The invited teams include Complexity, Luminosity, G2, Tempestorm, Team Virtus Pro, Team Liquid, Cloud9, and Alliance. In this fresh new approach to a team league, both teams submit one deck from each of the 9 classes. Teams then take turns banning 2 classes from their opponents and then choose from the remaining 7, the 6 decks they would like to pilot. Shaman saw the majority of the bans, while Rogue and Priest were also banned heavily. Most notably, however, was Hunter seeing 0 play in week 1. In what many expected to be the closest and most anticipated series, G2 featuring Tice, Life Coach, and RDU faced off against the recently completed roster of Alliance with Orange, Oskaka, and Powder. In this series, G2 stunned the audience and Alliance with a 6-0 victory using Tice's Anything Can Happen Paladin deck. In the next series, it pitted Tempestorm against Team Virtus Pro. Tempestorm played well with their roster of Saiyan, VLPS, and Gaara to defeat Virtus Pro by a score of 6-3. On the second day of week 1, we witnessed a close match between Team Liquid and Luminosity, with Luminosity upsetting Team Liquid 6-5. To close out the week, Complexity narrowly inches out Cloud9 6-5. After week 1, it's G2 in first place, Tempestorm in second, and Complexity in third. Tune in on Wednesdays and Thursdays at 10 a.m. Pacific on twitch.tv/ESL_Hearthstone to follow along. And that's going to do it for this week's Esports Fast Break. Woo! So that's it. 3 minutes. You got everything that you need to know from this last week of Hearthstone Esports in 3 minutes. Let me know, though, if you don't like it, we'll just cut it. We'll do it manually or we'll talk less esports. I get it, but
we'll do it live.
We'll do it live, damn it. All right, so let's go ahead. I want to talk about Trinity Series first because I'm most excited about Trinity Series. We talked about the format a little bit in the fast break. But one really cool thing about this team league is that we actually get to zoom in and listen to the teams as they discuss plays. So all three players right now, Tannen, JR, and I could be a team. We could be Team Wellmet, and people could hear Tannen and JR talk about plays while I scratch my head confusedly in the background. And
I don't know if my back can take that. I would have a lot of back pain from carrying you guys for
okay. Okay, wow. Now there it is. Just Savage over here. We got Sorry. Young Savage with Amnesiac. We've got old Savage with Tannen.
I'm twice his age. With the Tan Man. I am twice his age.
Right.
No, we're not making that a thing. We're not making that a thing, JR.
It is.
No, whenever you make jokes like that, I'm going to call you Tan Man.
From, honestly, from Las Vegas, Old Savage Tan and Grace. That's what it's going to be from now on. But let's talk a little bit. There's obviously some awesome things when you get such amazing rosters playing Hearthstone together. And one thing that I noticed from these seven teams is that there are a lot of good, really good teams in Hearthstone. You've got Orange, Ostkaka, and Powder on Alliance. G2 has always been one of my favorites with Life Coach, Tice, and RDU. Even teams though, like Complexity, right? Where they've got Super JJ on there. Stan Sifka just signed with, was it Virtus Pro? I believe is who that was with. Like there's really good rosters in Hearthstone right now. Tannen, how do you think that having three people making the plays that we're used to one person making, how do you think that affects the game as a whole?
So it definitely affects it a lot, actually. I find that sometimes it's a lot harder to play correctly when you have two other people in your ear telling you stuff. You can't really like centralize your thoughts, right? You know, you have your line, know what you're trying to do, and someone else is like, oh, what about this? And someone else is like, oh, what about that? And it kind of distracts you, right? And you only have so much time per turn. So you heard a lot of people very quickly trying to go through different lines in every turn. And I think it's actually can be a hindrance at times. Well, and sometimes it can help. So maybe it balances out. I'm not sure. I have to actually like experience it on this kind of stage because I've actually played in some gigantic team events before for like Magic. I've played on the Pro Tour for team events when we can talk games over and talk turns over. And the way we approached it is you let the person who's playing the game play the game. There's a reason they're on your team. There's a reason you trust them as a teammate, right? You know how good they are. If they are about to make either a huge blunder or they ask you something, that's when you speak up. Otherwise, you let them, you know, figure their things out and do their stuff. I'm excited about the way they're doing this, that like it is actually a team format, because we've seen team events in the past where like it's not actually really a team event. Like everyone's kind of playing for themselves. You know, like if you and I are on a team, John, like whatever you do in your match almost never affects me in this team tournament. While in this one, it 100% directly affects you.
Right.
Right. And then, not to mention, we get to actually listen to the players talking about it. That has been an absolute delight. Getting to listen to Chalky talk about Hearthstone when somebody else is playing it. I mean, the guy can't help but meme. Like, he literally just memes the 100% of the time while the match is going on. And I'm just dying over here trying to watch the match and just laughing my butt off at Chalky. So I've loved every second of it, and I'm going to be watching more of it this week than I did last week.
It's really interesting to watch the different dynamics because, you know, Tannen, you talk the way that your team does it. One team that I really, there are two teams that really contrasted really well. G2. So G2, Tyson RDU did most of the talking. Life Coach was sitting back, kind of just, you know, whatever, kind of hanging out. However, when he said something, G2 always went with it. Like he just had that much clout with the team where it's like once Life Coach is weighing in, we know that he feels strongly enough to, you know, do that, right?
Right. On and you see that dynamic with a lot of teams too, where you know, you have two guys who are like more, I don't want to say boisterous, they talk more. Like I'm the guy that talks a lot on the team, and then you know, one of my teammates, whenever he speaks up, it's like, well, we should probably listen a little bit more because his stuff usually, you know, is a little heavier.
Right. Totally. The contrasting side to that, there's quite a few ones. Like, I think, honestly, oh my God, I'm not going to remember. Chalky's team. Why can't I? Luminosity? Thank you. Luminosity, it was very much all three players weighing in very heavily, and I would say very close to equally, right? Where it was, you know, Chalky and Zalay were always, you know, kind of weighing in and having things. Who's the third one from Complexity? I'm gonna suck for a second and say, yeah, I can't remember. Was it like Frozen or something? Anyways, yes. Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, it was very much a three-way contribution where you could tell that they kind of set up where everybody kind of weighs in, and then the piloter goes, okay, this is what I'm going to play. And I thought it was really great. Now, one of the downsides of having this, though, is that, number one, obviously, no teams argued as far as I saw there. There was no name calling. Like, you're stupid. There are a few rosters that I'm worried about. If they don't do well, they might get to that point. But for the most part, it was all really civil. And even times where it's like, I disagree with this, but I'm going to play it anyway. Or I disagree with this, but, you know, you're piloting the deck right now. We saw a lot of that for the most part. So I thought that was great. But you really have three times the brain power in a lot of ways for this. So one thing that I noticed could be a downside to this is that you are dealing with basically perfect plays on each side, which is great, but it also eliminates a lot of the variance. And in that case, it becomes very matchup dependent. It becomes a lot less about who's piloting the deck. You know, if you have VLPS on Control Warrior, yeah, great, he's doing that. But honestly, you know, a team of three players can probably get too close to the same spot where VLPS is on his own on that Control Warrior. Once you see that, you know, it's kind of that thing where you get less of that specialization, right? And right, once you get that, is Hearthstone fun knowing that it's either RNG or matchup dependent in this hypothetical world? What do you guys think?
I'm like, it has to be a balance of both, in my opinion. That's why, you know, whenever I watch like esports or anything like that, like, the randomness that can happen is still a big deal, even though skill is very, very important to have to determine who is the best player. There still has to be some kind of variance within there on, you know, something that might put someone over the edge and then they can take advantage of it. Or as opposed to, you know, just straight up, this deck beats this deck. We know that 80, 90% of the time. And why did we even play it out if we know how it's going to end?
Right. Tannen, what do you think?
Again, JR just knocks it out of the park with his answer, just spot on. I got to believe I'm pretty much in the same boat that he is. I like seeing actually a little variance taken away in some events like this. You know, it's this high level and all these. It's just going to happen, right? Like, we can't control that. They aren't going to mess up as much as some other people right. do. But at the same time, I do, like he said, there has to be some kind of random element to it. Otherwise, it's not fun anymore. I mean, if you want to play a game where the best player always wins, go play chess. Like, just go do that. Like, don't play Hearthstone, don't play poker, like, don't play these games. Like, the randomness part of it is what makes the game fun. Like, if I go play against Dan Sifko or one of these guys in these teams that's infinitely better than me, they're still not going to win, like, 90 games out of 100. I'm still going to get in, you know, my wins here or there and get, you know, 30 to 40 to 50 wins. But they're definitely a better player than I am. And that just makes the game fun. So I love seeing this kind of stuff.
Right. Cool. I mean, that's all I really wanted to talk about. I think the format is really interesting. I think that if you are into Hearthstone esports, this should be on your weekly watch list because this is pretty big. I can't think of a big team or a big name that they didn't lock up for this tournament. So you definitely should be tuning in every week. Wednesdays, Thursdays, twitch.tv/ESL_Hearthstone. 10 a.m. Pacific time. So check those out. Let's move on over to the China versus NA Gold Series. We already talked about the results from that, but this tournament was not met without some controversy. Was it not, JR?
Yeah, there's a little bit of controversy surrounding this. Mainly it came down to right at the end of the tournament. And where LVGE, is that who it was? was making a play where he was hovering over Dirty Rat against a hand that who I don't remember who he was playing against.
Chalky.
Yep.
And Chalky had, I believe, Edwin Van Cleef and something else that wouldn't have hurt on a Dirty Rat on turn two, right? Mm-hmm. What you would have been hurt really hard by was if it was a Gadget Zan Auctioneer. But apparently the headphones weren't very soundproof, and you could hear the announcers going nuts about it. You could hear the crowd, you could hear the teammates, things like that. And as he hovered over it, and he was like, well, it's not really the best play, but he went ahead and played it anyway after he heard, you know, the crowd or whatever. And then it pulled an Edwin Van Cleef, and they basically ended up winning the match on that.
Right.
The biggest thing that I, and then Raynad complained about it later on that specific play, and they called an admin over, but, you know, not going to do anything at that point. It was tournament point at that time. The biggest thing for me, though, was the tournament should have better gear that's going to make things, you know, so you can't hear, you know, the crowd or the announcers. They should have noise canceling headphones, and they didn't.
With white noise,
that's like a huge deal. Well, yeah, that's like a really huge deal. They should have had that right at the beginning. But to me, the players should have complained about it at the beginning, and they didn't. Mm-hmm. They didn't complain about it until right at the end. That to me was like, I get your point on that. That was a deal. You know, that was a big deal at the time. But if you knew about this for the 3 days in a row, you didn't say anything until that point. And that to me was like, and at that point too, like, it didn't determine the outcome. It determined the outcome of that match, but didn't determine the outcome of the tournament, where they were getting beat anyway. Like, even if Chalky had won that game, there were still two more players that NA would have had to eliminate beyond that, beyond that Chinese player. Like, they were down so much. It would be like, you know, watching the Chiefs last week get a holding penalty right at the end and then blame the entire game on the guy that made the holding penalty and not on the team that really just didn't perform as well as it should have.
Mm. Yeah, and, you know, Raynad had even said it afterwards, like, once he calmed down a little bit, same thing with Chalky and them. They were like, yeah, we probably weren't going to win anyway, but it leaves a sour taste in your mouth. It's like, you know, it brings up things. The one thing that makes me worried about, because I agree with what JR said, you know, yeah, you probably should have said something earlier that this could be possibly a problem, but maybe it just didn't, you know, get to the forefront of their mind. They're too worried about, like, playing.
Either that or they were using it to their advantage, too. You don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. We don't know. But it does call into question the legitimacy of the entire tournament, though, right? Because, like, has this happened before? Yeah, like, did this happen in other games where, you know, I want to go back and watch all of the games where someone makes a really odd play that, like, works out really well, but you're like, that's not a great play. Because, like, it's like you said, like, what if he plays that Dirty Rat and a Gadget Zan comes out? You know, like, the game is over on the spot. Like, you're not winning from that point.
Yeah, it's a play you wouldn't make normally. And LVGE even admitted that, no, he was totally influenced by that.
Yeah. And I think Chalky, he even wrote something up afterwards saying, as soon as the play happened and the Dirty Rat came out, he literally, like, you know, yelled. He's like, why don't you say it louder next time, guys? Because, like, he could hear everyone saying, like, to play the Dirty Rat.
Right.
And, yeah, it's like, I don't think it's okay. You know, you can be results-oriented and be like, you know, it's NA, you know, we weren't going to win anyway, most likely. Like, it was still a really long shot. But it just calls into question, you know, what was going on. And I'm not saying either side that, oh, China was using this to their advantage the whole time. You know, again, it's like JR said. We had a chance to use it to our advantage as well the whole time through this. So just hopefully this is something that gets fixed in the future.
Right. And I mean, I think there's a few things here. Number one, like, kudos to the NA team. Like, you know, even Raynad, the King of Salt, was overall pretty diplomatic in what he had said. And at the end of it all, like, Cydonia and Frozen, they've all come out with statements, and all of them come around to be like, yep, this really sucked, but the tournament experience was amazing. The admins were amazing. The people who organized the tournaments were incredible to work with. They treated us better than almost any other, tournament that we've been in the past. And we don't want to make it about that. However, it does, you know, like there should be, I think it was Cydonia who wrote this in his, he had a twit longer post, I believe, or was on Reddit. And he just basically said there should be a basic level of equipment that tournament organizers, especially at like the premier or major level or the streaming level, should be required to have. Use these headphones, use these keyboards, use these computers, kind of thing, so that there's a level playing field and that the it's not like going to Green Bay in December to play football. I'm a Minnesota boy. I know what that means. And, it's not that home field advantage thing that ends up influencing the results on a tournament. But almost everyone agreed that the Dirty Rat play was the incorrect play and that it was made partially, if not wholly, based on the reaction of the China team, the casters, and the crowd.
Yep. So yeah, it was 100% influenced. I mean, LBG even really admitted that in his statement.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you put it best, John. It's like, it was a great experience for the players. It was a great tournament overall. It's just unfortunate that we had this like one little mishap at the end, kind of mire the entire thing. Because otherwise, it's an amazing. Like, I remember I've talked to Firebat about his experience playing in it before, and he's like, "Yeah, it's like the best experience I've ever had playing Hearthstone. They're just amazing to you there. They treat you like a rock star." And I was like, "Yeah, this is something to, like to aspire to if you're a competitive Hearthstone player. You want to play in this match." And so hopefully this doesn't deter anything in the future. Like, hopefully we get another China versus NA. You know, so
right. Right, so that's it. That's everything for esports this week. It's a little bit heavier than normal. More than likely in the future, unless there's something big that happens out, we'll probably just esports fast break it and kind of go straight into the next piece if people like the fast break. If not, you know, we'll go from there. Let's jump into the meta.
Beat 'em or join 'em.
So this week, honestly, not much has changed. What a surprise. We're probably halfway to more than halfway through this expansion. And, not much is changing. However, we wanted to talk about a few trends that we're seeing since the Mean Streets of Gadget Santa has launched. First and foremost, Shaman is at the highest play percentage it has been since the actual release, at 25.04% at all ranks, according to Vicious Syndicate ranking. That's a big deal. That's a lot of Shaman, boys. That's a lot of good old Thrall on your ladder. Too much? Is 25% class representation too much?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not okay. like, think about this. There's 9 classes in the game. You're supposed to play against like 9 classes, right? But a fourth of your games are against one of them. So that means the other 8 classes only represent 75% of your games. Like, that's not okay.
And not to mention that Paladin and Hunter represent less than 3%.
Yeah.
So between the two, like, let's just put them at 5%. That means that 70% is represented by 6 classes, right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, isn't that the whole loop? Isn't that the whole loop of of the ladder versus?
Wow,
isn't that the whole loop though of the ladder versus the meta, where as things do well on the ladder, it ends up being high on the meta, and as things are high up on the meta, you see it more on the ladder, and it's just a snowball at that point until you find
positive feedback something loop,
until you find something that can effectively beat Shaman, which there is nothing that anybody has found that can effectively, you know, beat Shaman at a high percentage point, then, you know, it's people are going to play.
Yeah, and to be fair, right? Like, there are at least 3 different Shaman deck lists. Aggro Shaman, by far the most popular. Mid-range Shaman, less popular, a little bit less effective. But there are some of these like Jade Control Shamans. I've actually been playing with a Jade Control Shaman that Strife Crow has been talking about and playing with. And it's really fun. And it has very different win rates than somebody else. Class representation is important. But a healthy win rate representation, I think, is more important when it comes to that stuff. If you have, you know, let's say you have 25% representation on Aggro Shaman, that's a problem. But if you have Aggro Shaman and Control Shaman both representing 12.5% of that 25%, is it that broken? Because the matchups are almost inverse at points as far as what it does well against and what it doesn't. Aggro Shaman.
Well, we saw that with.
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. We saw that with Warrior.
Yeah. Great point.
Before Main Streets, where you had Temple Warrior, you had Dragon Warrior, you had Control Warrior, etc.
Right. So, like, I think people overblow class representation a little bit. At the same time, 15% of that is still Aggro Shaman, right? You know, like that means
feels like more.
Yeah, it feels like way more. And it definitely depends. I would say rank 10 down, probably higher. I would have to relook at the stats for sure. But it's highly likely that, you know, Shaman is overrepresented right now because it doesn't have even sub 40% win rates against classes. It can steal just about anything, and most decks that it isn't just dominating against don't have good win rates against the rest of the field, against, you know, Pirate Warrior, against Miracle Rogue. And finding a deck that does it all is just, I mean, hey, number one, if you could find a deck that could beat it all, that would be the one at the top, right? So that's how you kind of know that your game is more balanced than it could be. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that it's like totally balanced, right?
I would like to see the percentage of decks that are played in the meta that have Small Time Buccaneer and Patches. That I would like to see that.
You know,
I think that by itself is more harmful than just representation of one class over another.
Well, I mean, that's the reason why we're having the problem that we're having is because of those two cards getting paired together, and that Shaman is just the best outlet. You know, like with a close second being Rogue, I mean, it has the best cheap weapons in the game. Like, we've talked about this with class representation. You made the joke about how, like, Hunter is just not a class anymore. I am a firm believer that if you print one or two slightly different cards, like if Glaive Zuka was still legal, you'd be seeing Hunter on the ladder right now. Because think about people going Small Time Buccaneer into Patches and into Glaive Zuka. Like, that's a nightmare. Like,
yeah.
You're at like 15 before you stabilize.
Right. It's the only reason that we don't have Hunter. Cheap weapons. That's the one thing that makes Hunter go from like last of, you know, at least top
three. Yeah.
To answer your question, JR, about 45% of decks.
Also, they do have the info.
I'm just taking Aggro Shaman, Midrange Shaman, Pirate Warrior, Miracle Rogue, and combining them and just kind of going, well, makes sense, right? So
The number's even misleading in a way, too, because like there's decks that just can't play that. You know what I mean? So like you're not going to play it in Reno decks. Like, you're not going to play it in classes that don't have weapons. So that number actually just feels extremely high to me.
Right, because, I mean, Paladin and Hunter are virtually out of the equation, right? Mm-hmm. So you're talking 45% between Priest, Warlock, Mage, and Druid is the other 55% of decks that don't run the Pirate class. On top of, like, I don't think, does Control Warrior run it? I don't think it does.
I don't think so.
I've seen it. Kind of there. People have definitely experimented with it. Long story short, you have to be a weapon class and you have to have a 2-mana weapon. Like, you just have to, or a 1-mana weapon like Shaman has. If you don't have that, like Hunter, Paladin, I guess you have Light's Justice, right? Which is the, what is it, 3? Is that 2-mana 1/5?
It's one mana, 1/4. There's also a 2-mana weapon in that class. I've tried it out. Like, I've tried to make that deck and, like, see if you could have patches and Buccaneer and stuff. And it's just not good enough. You're just too slow.
Too slow. Makes sense.
Because, like, you're trying to buff your... You still have to play, like, buff cards, and, like, your minions don't survive. Like, right. People trade, you know?
Right. Another thing I wanted to bring up with you guys. Priest. So Priest is actually doing quite well in tournaments. It saw 4 of the 20 bans, I believe. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Anyways, it saw the third most bans at Trinity Series behind Shaman, of course, in first, Rogue in second with 5. I believe it was 11, 5, and 4, but I don't want to finalize that. And seeing really decent tournament level play, but we're not seeing it really at high level play on the ladder. What is your take of Dragon Priest not doing so well? Tan and JR, you have thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly because it's a counter deck, right? Like, it's okay on the ladder. Like, I've been playing it to some okay success, but, like, people on the ladder still play Jade Druid. Like, I still don't understand why people are playing that deck. Stop playing it. It's bad. But, like, you know, you still run into it every now and then. And you just, it's so hard to win. But in tournament play, when you know what classes they have left and, like, you know the decks they have left, if they have an Aggro Shaman and a Pirate Warrior deck left over, you're actually in a pretty good spot queuing up Priest there. Like, I would actually just, like, bet on the side of Priest. Because, yeah, you're never going to get a huge advantage, but this is a class and a deck that is set there just to counter other decks. So you're going to see it at high-level tournament play, and you're not going to see it so much on the ladder. You know, we've seen that before in the past, but...
Is it the same with Anything Can Happen Paladin? Do you feel the same
very
way?
Very similar.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
That deck's also very hard to play correctly, by the way. You have to pay a lot of attention to all your turns, and I'm usually doing 6 things while I'm playing Hearthstone.
Unless your name is Tice, that is.
Yeah.
JR, you were saying...
He's a god.
Oh no, I agree. It's one of those decks where if you bring in a lineup of you know what your lineup already is, and you're like, okay, I can put Priest in here because I know that these decks may not be good for this specific matchup. And then depending on that, like, you can be in a really good place depending on what your opponent is bringing, and you can determine which deck you're going to be ending up playing, you know, that, or take a really good guess on what you're going to be playing against and have it be very targetable. Like, I brought Priest, I brought Dragon Priest this week, on the Hearth League, and my opponent actually just straight up banned it, because the deck was going to be pretty good against what his lineup was, which was very control oriented. Unfortunately for him, the rest of my deck was very aggro oriented, so that's why I went 3-0. And Priest was actually I hope my next opponent's not listening to this, but Dragon Priest is actually my worst deck. So I was like, I'll take
don't
that
give
ban.
Them that information, JR. Come on.
No, I'm practicing it all this week, so by the end of the week, it's going to be my best deck. So
I actually think it's really good right now. Like, I really do. I've been playing at a decent bit on the ladder. And by really good, I mean playable. Because, like, right now, if a deck is playable, it's really good. Because this meta is very unforgiving.
Well, I think even Vicious Syndicate has Dragon Priest at... Well, they have him at Tier 3 at Legend at 49.89%. But at rank 5 to 1, it jumps up to the third best deck. And the fourth best deck at all rankings. So it's not seeing a lot of play at Legend, but even then it's not doing that bad. And if you can pilot it well, if you are a Tannen Grace or a Hot Form or a Zed'Alot, you know, you might be able to, you know, get some great wins out of that deck, right? So that was the big thing we wanted to talk about meta this week. We got to keep moving on, though. We do have an email we want to talk about this week. Make sure to check out Vicious Syndicate Data Reaper Report. This is number 34. It was posted on the 19th of January, and I don't anticipate a whole lot has changed since then because it hasn't changed in 4 weeks. So we'll go ahead and check that out. And again, tell us what you're playing. Send us an email. Hop on over to discord.gg/blizzpro. We're going to spend more time there and hanging out. So go ahead and do that thing. Let's go into emails.
We've got mail.
Whew. All right. Tannen, that's the first time I think you've heard that sounder. So,
yeah, it was pretty awesome, actually. Yeah. I like that one.
Anyways, we do have an email. It's kind of a Magic the Gathering email, so I'm going to read it so I don't have to answer it, and then Tannen can smile while we do it. We'll just bring up the big page on Tannen as I read about Magic. I'm just kidding. I won't do that to you. This is from Jeffrey L., also known as Corral. We shout him out every week on the show. He's an amazing supporter of the show. I played with him not last Saturday. I played him 2 days ago. We played Dragon Warrior. It was a lot of fun. Thanks for the email, Corral. Here we go. He says, "Hey guys, I know you talked about Arena last week and asked about our thoughts on doing Wild versus Standard in Arena. And that got me thinking that maybe there was a middle ground between the two. In Magic, there's something known as cube drafting, which is where people assemble their own custom packs of cards composed of cards from all sorts of different sets from across Magic's history. The general goal of a cube draft is to recombine old cards to create a theme that can be drafted to make a deck that is highly synergistic. Applying this concept to Hearthstone, I think it would be cool if Blizzard were to make the arena into a sort of cube draft that plays up the themes of the most recent sets. Look at Mean Streets of Gadgetzan. Rogues have a sub-theme based on stealth, so an arena format built with this in mind could include stealth minions from throughout Hearthstone, like Patient Assassin, Shade of Naxxramas, or Silent Knight. Since it's a digital card game, they could even alter the frequency and rarity of them for Rogue in particular, so that it's more likely that they would be able to build a deck around stealth. Similarly, they could add in taunts to support Warriors' taunt theme or Beast to support Hunters and Druids. Whenever a new set came out, the entire arena card pool would shuffle around to support the new themes rather than just adding new cards. I feel like this could help with the issue that they are having with keeping the arena card pool manageable while maintaining a unique feel to arena. What do you guys think, Corral?" Tannen, I'm going to let you weigh in first, man. What do you like the idea of this Rubik's Cube draft in Hearthstone? Cube draft. Sorry, it's my non-magic term. That's how we'll I forgive remember. You. Yeah.
We will forgive you. Oh, look, we've got a Rubik's Cube. Corral, you're so smart. This is a great idea. I would absolutely love this. I'm actually a gigantic fan of cube drafting in Magic. It's pretty cool to see how people kind of shift their cubes around too. They're like, oh, my theme is this, or, you know, each color has its own theme, which would be like each class having its own theme, like you mentioned in this. And I love the idea because, yeah, it would keep it fresh, it would keep it new, and it would keep it moving. You know, a new set comes out and you got like, you know, like Paladin has a lot of Divine Shield in the set. So like Divine Shield's going to be the thing in cube for Paladin this time around. And then you get like Shielded Minibot back. You know, you haven't seen that card for a while because it's not in Standard anymore. All these ideas feel great to me. Let's get this guy at Blizzard. Let's get him developing arena stuff for us.
Right. What do you think, JR? Yeah.
I will say that I really do enjoy cube drafting in Magic the Gathering.
It's the best.
It is pretty fun. Like, and the main reason why was because it was just a casual format because you know, a friend of yours or yourself put the cube together. And then you just draft. You didn't have to buy new packs or anything like that to actually do the draft, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just feels like a very casual format, very fun. You're building your own card pool, and that's pretty cool. As far as like for Hearthstone and Arena, I do think it is a pretty fun idea. The only issue that I have with it though would be like, how do I know if I hop into the game and I just play and I don't for some reason I don't listen to Well Met and I don't read you know, different sites like BlizzPro or, you know, other websites like that. How do I know what cards are in the arena? You know, you kind of have that issue a little bit today with Arena because there are cards that are not in Arena unless you're paying attention.
Right.
Right. Then unless you were paying attention, you would know. And but also, I feel like the advantage on a lot of arena players are also sites like Hearth Arena, where, you know, as you're drafting, you know, you're giving, like, you know, a point system to know what card is better and more synergistic.
Right.
It would be nice because it would make their lives harder at, like, Hearth Arena and things like that, put out that information.
Yep.
But it would just be kind of weird on like, what cards are in Arena right now versus what cards aren't. Whereas if they went with, like, a standard format, like they were kind of talking about possibly doing, then you know, okay, I only have to deal with standard cards. Right. I know, you know, constructed versus standard. And that's the only complaint I have. It does sound like fun, but that's the only thing that I think probably won't work.
Right. I'm going to chime in here, not from the Magic the Gathering perspective, obviously, but from just the, I've played quite a bit of Hearthstone, talked about it for almost 2 years. Like, I feel like I have a little bit. We get a lot of emails about, I have an idea for a feature in the game, and a lot of them aren't very well thought out. They're just not. It's like, how about you just make it so you can have 60 cards and 4 of each card in a deck, and be like, no, sorry, dude, that's not going to happen.
Go play Magic.
Right. Yeah. But, or like, make the, you know, once Reno rotates out, make the hero pool or the hero health pool 60, so that way aggro isn't as popular. And I'm like, yeah, you just introduced 9 million bad things into the game, so you don't have to play aggro shaman 20 for, right, you know, 15%
of the time. Alexstrasza would be awesome.
Right. Yeah. There goes 45% of your health. Anyways, Corel, I thought that this was a really well thought out email. The big thing that I think Tannen and JR are saying, and I think that I would echo, is it's not that the idea in itself is really sound. The idea is how, you know, I can play this on my phone, right? If I'm going to play this on my phone, how do I know what my card pool is? How do I know which cards are included or not? They've already kind of made that a little bit with standard, but it's whole expansions, right? Whole expansions are discluded from this. And that's the one thing I could see here is, how do you find a way to effectively communicate that to whoever is playing Arena, that whether they're on iPhone, iPad, computer, they know or have a spot to easily scout out which cards are included or discluded in that.
Because you need to know that for, you know, synergies on, like, okay, I want to keep this card because I know that this card might be coming up and it's going to be perfect later on.
Right.
And I'm going to take that chance. I'm going to get it later.
Yeah.
Right?
Say you're going to make you want to make a Silence Priest and Purify is not in there. Or you like, oh, C'Thun cards would be so cool. And you find out C'Thun isn't in rotation. There's no chance of you getting that card at all. Right. It's like, that's the only thing is, but at the same time, they could just as easily say, hey, we want the next level of dedicated, you know, dedicated players playing Arena. So this is the card pool now. It's this selected card pool. Here's the website where you can see all of these things. Or maybe if there's not enough synergies, maybe a simple mouse over or holding your finger over could hold, you know, could show the cards that it synergizes with or other cards with that keyword. If it's taunt, here's the other warrior cards with taunt. Or, you know, whatever. Like, there are ways.
Ulster Warrior Dream.
Never going to happen. So I think that there are ways to do it. The question is, how much is the Hearthstone team willing to lose in the just obvious rule points that they've already, you know, kind of set in place for the game as a whole? But yeah, any other thoughts on this email, guys? Or you feel pretty good?
I'd play the hell out of it.
Play the hell out of it. I love it.
It'd be fun. Mm-hmm. I agree. It'd be fun.
Awesome. Well, we got to call it a show. We've gone a little long already. Oh, that was a fun show. Tannen, sorry that you don't keep close enough attention to Slack, and I don't keep close enough attention to your replies.
Message. Right? I missed one message.
The important ones. But this was a fun show. We're still figuring, I don't even want to say we're figuring this out, but this is show number two in a lot of ways with the new host. We want to hear how you guys like the show. Let Tannen talk more. Make JR talk less. Get John off the show. We get that last email all the time. Get John off the show is the first iTunes review we got when I podcasted.
No, don't kick John off. I don't want to have to actually do any actual work.
There's a lot of buttons to push, man. There's a lot to do. Anyways.
I know. I've seen your soundboard.
Right. Hearthstone, if you like the esports fast break, all that stuff, let me know so that we can continue to work on that awesome stuff for you. And if not, I will work on something else. I only cry a little bit. I won't send you a video of me crying. So thank you guys for your emails. Thank you to our patrons, Albert T, The Real Ben, and Coral, our MVPs, friends of the show. MVPs is the payload. Our friends of the show. Thank you so much. We started talking about a little bit, something I'm working on doing is doing a weekly or bi-monthly or monthly show match where we bring on a couple of pro players and then we from Well Met, cast it and we get, great players. Ray C has already said, like, dude, I'm in. Just let me know when and where. I'm ready to play. Freshka. Right. Yeah. Freshka has kind of said the same thing, which I saw him on Hearthstone the other day. He's played a little aggro shaman. So, he's doing well there. So that's our Freshka update. Right. He's like, I'm just going to go face now. If you guys want to see that, I'm going to probably end up making that a Patreon goal. So if you want to see kind of weekly show tournaments, I'd probably throw it up on the feed as well for people who wanted to see it. So if you want to see that, want to support the show, help us be able to spend more time into, our different themes, like trying out the esports fast break, trying out and making that awesome Tannen intro that I didn't, like I got so many. Oh, there we go. I couldn't find the button. And help me find the buttons more. Patreon.com/WellMetPodcast. JR, what do we have going on for iTunes reviews this week?
Yeah, this week we had an iTunes review in the USA from Stray Dog 1963.
Nice.
Which I hope that someone adopts him pretty soon.
Adopt a long time Stray Dog.
Stray Dog. So...
awesome. I'm a dog lover. I hope somebody takes care of this guy.
Right.
If not, come on over here. I'll take care of you.
I don't know. That might be a battle tag, too.
I think it is. Stray Dog, hashtag 1963. Let's see how many people from Well Met can add his battle tag. And Stray Dog,
send me... And be nice. Not salty. Be nice.
Right. And be nice. And then send me an email, wellmet@blizzbro.com, with how many of you sent friend requests to Stray Dog. All right, let's get out of here. Tannen, shout outs for the week, and where can people find you?
All right, they can find me on Twitter at TheTannenGrace, and I'm being pretty active in the Facebook group as well. So anybody in there, go ahead and give me a shout out. And I'm gonna kind of piggyback a little bit what John said. So anyone who becomes a new Patreon this week, I will play a match of your choosing against you in Hearthstone.
Oh, I like this.
Nice.
I like this a lot. Play with Tannen. He didn't even tell me that beforehand. So, yeah, awesome. I might become a patron because Tannen won't play with me.
I don't want to 3-0 someone that easy. Come on. At least somebody's going to be a challenge. Get on the show.
Come on. You want to take this inside, Tannen?
Oh, no.
You want to take this inside? JR, shout outs for the week. And where can people find you?
You guys can find me over on Twitter at Eldorian. Shout out to Albert for once again giving me that NES Classic Edition. I finally got my TV set up in my office. I'm going to try to stream Wednesday
can
for
you,
Extra Life using it.
Can you put on our Facebook group, on our Twitter, your setup? Because it's so cool.
Yeah.
Your setup's really cool. I'm kind of jelly. And I'm really proud of my setup, so... Yeah. Wow, I cannot hit the buttons. Cannot hit the buttons, guys.
What were you drinking earlier?
Oh, my God. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I'm going to try to stream for Extra Life this Wednesday and try to make it a more usual thing. I'll probably be playing, like, NES games and things like that. Also, a shout-out to Sam Benson, again, for putting on a great fireside game here in Kansas City.
Awesome. Cool. Well, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, Discord, at Kick Tripod. I'm Kick Tripod everywhere, and my website is kicktripod.com. You can find my Discord channel and all that stuff there. And shout-outs for me, shout-out to Pumbaa, who I played this week in Team Hearth League, and we had a good time. We played. I won. That felt great, but he was very gracious, and if I didn't pull his Doomsayer, he would have won. So... shout out to him as well. All right, let's get out of here. This has been an amazing episode 94 of Well Met. Thanks for joining us. You can join us live every Sunday at 7 p.m. Pacific at twitch.tv/blizzbro to get on the conversation and follow the show on Twitter at Well Met Podcast for additional news and updates. Well Met is supported by our fans. If you love the show, you can find out how to become a part of the family at patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. You can also find Well Met apparel at store.blizzpro.com. A special thanks to Jake Butno for our music and Scythe Designs for our graphic design. This has been episode 92 of Well Met. We'll see you guys next week. And again, please send me your emails and hang out with me in Discord. Please. So lonely. I'm so lonely.
God.